Last night, the Saints sent a message to its loyal supporters. We're not done yet. A ruthless 82-point smashing against Richmond, 135-53. The kids, they stepped up. The pressure, relentless. The hype, is it real? Is this the dawn of a new St Kilda era or just a one-off masterclass? Let's break it down on Saints or Sinners Today. Saints or Sinners, Episode 8. If you follow the Saints, love the AFL, trivia, and a bit of banter, we'll kick back and relax and let's talk some Saints footy. On today's episode, Saints vs Richmond recap. Fan mail from our Instagram DMs, which, by the way, is at Saints or Sinners Pod. Coach Proc's lion cage segment. Our Saint or Sinner of the round. Slide indoors with Yoz. Our GT pressure rating and fantasy updates from Trenner. We also might touch on our game against Port next weekend while we're at it. For those new to the podcast, and we are fastly growing in numbers each week, every break we play the siren sound. Oops. Every break we play the siren sound, and that's where we pause the podcast to ask you at home a St Kilda-related trivia question. Today, the Who Am I's are back. Play along, have some fun, and if you're having a good time and want to hear more about us, I'd recommend hitting that follow button on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling generous, feel free to leave us a 5-star review as well. It helps push us up the rankings. Now, a footy podcast is nothing without a panel, and we have a good mix of talent here for you today. So, can we please cue the music? Let's introduce them. Joining us today, firstly, a man who has spent 35 plus years of watching St Kilda games, which equates to over 700 games of watching the Saints. He's also been the head chef of numerous 5-star restaurants across Melbourne, Sydney and Sri Lanka, also working at the MCG now in the premium dining section. It is our chef, Yoz.
Thank you. Love the introduction. I don't know if it's entirely true, but I'll take it.
5 stars from us. A fantasy fanatic finishing in the top 100, chasing that number one spot in AFL Dream Team. Do you recognise those mini matches or quick highlights on the AFL app? Well, this man has produced over 1,500 games of match highlight packages working for the AFL himself. We've got fantasy fanatic Trenner.
G'day, guys. I wanted to come here tonight and say that I'm in the top 100 for fantasy. I'm sitting at 107, so I can't quite say it yet, but I'm not too far off it.
It's our former AFL Athletes Development Coach, a former VFL Head Coach and current coach of the North Ballarat Football Club. Married to a St Kilda wife and her family, keeping it real for us one-eyed Saints fans, it's the one and only, the one who selected Max Hall at the Box Hill Hawks. It's our very own Coach Proc.
He's going well, Maxi, isn't he? Had a good game on the weekend.
Let's see if the Saints loyalty are going to be tested this year. Ooh. With Hawthorn right at the top. So we'll see if the missus is still on the Saints bandwagon at the end of the year.
And hosting today, the twin of Trenner. Yes, there are two of us. We are twins. Don't be confused today if you hear similar voices. I'm Jules Bolt, the former host of AFL Bites and the Footy Life app, looking to bring you some stats and insights whilst carrying out the agenda today. All right, enough of the intro. Let's just get straight into the action. For those of you who didn't get a chance to watch Saints vs Richmond, here's a very quick recap for you. Quarter one, the Saints started slow, leading 21-9 at quarter time. Richmond brought pressure early, played a bit of keep-ins off and forcing turnovers, while St Kilda struggled to convert their chances. In quarter two, Richmond fouled momentum, kicking 4 goals, including 2 from Seth Campbell, and cut the margin to just 8 points at the half. St Kilda looked a little vulnerable, struggling with sloppy turnovers and not really playing our style. In quarter three, the floodgates opened right up as St Kilda piled on 6-1, taking full control. Mitch Owens kicked 2 quick goals, whilst Lance Collard and Max Hall injected pace and energy into the forward line. Callum Wilkie and Anthony Caminiti locked down Tom Lynch, and Saints beautifully moved the ball end-to-end through Nasiah and Jack Sinclair. In quarter four, Richmond Tigers gave up completely and the Saints were showing no mercy, booting another 8 goals to Richmond's 1. Jack Higgins and Mason Wood finished with 3 goals each. Sinclair racked up a career-high 40 disposals. Nasai Wanganyi-Malira was smooth with 29 touches, whilst Roel Marshall again dominated in the ruck. The Saints' young guns, Collard and Hall, were lively and dangerous, showing why they are the ones to watch. Gentlemen, Saints v Richmond, give us your thoughts.
Well, I think, let's take it. It is Richmond, and I saw Port and Essendon on Thursday, and I thought they were both trash. And Port looked really good again. I'm just being honest, I didn't think much. It was a shocking game under the roof. And Port really thumped Richmond last week. So I thought we did what we had to do against Richmond, and the kids were good. We had, obviously, Steele was a big out, but that was a huge plus point. Not that Steele was out, but Garcia got a full game in the middle, and I thought he was really impressive early. And the thing is, he hits a man hard. He takes the game forward. He's got a bit of speed, needs to work on the kick in. I think him and Windy in the centre worked really well with Jack McRae because they were both really hard at it. I thought that really worked really well. And we won the game. And, 130 points under Ross Lyon doesn't happen very often, so you got to take that.
Coach Brock.
Yeah, the Saints were impressive, obviously. Look, it's a really interesting phase at the moment with the Saints are on because 409 disposals is off the charts for them. 247 kicks, let alone 162 handballs. And that profile doesn't sit with Ross normally. So it's an interesting trend that's happening. That's 2 weeks in a row where the ball movement's been pretty aggressive. And I think that that's been really complimentary to the forward line you have. So it's allowed that ball movement to fit into the smalls. And Wood all of a sudden is coming in and finding the ball. Where he can run and jump and mark at it. It's not dumping on blokes' heads like, you know, I've heard a lot in the past. Yep. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive in that sense. And the good thing is the theme continues. The Saints are still tough. Their contest is good. Although the hit-outs and clearances aren't necessarily going in the favourite, you know, all the time, clearly that run-off halfback is complimentary to support that. So, super effort from Ross. We're really well coached. I thought they adjusted things at halftime. Obviously, you know, the Tigers are young, so they did drop off, and that does happen, you know, in regards when you got immature sort of bodies and things like that, it gets difficult to continue. But, yeah, full credit to Ross. You could definitely see a shift in the way the Saints moved the ball. Maybe less, you know, I guess, finding marks and a little bit more straighter to take on some one-on-ones, and then from there they were able to get the overlap hands going and ultimately, you know, opened them up in the last quarter.
Well, I think that's what we wanted. What would you say at the start of the year? We wanted to see an improved game plan, which was pretty much that forward half connection. That seemed a lot better. And also we wanted to see the kids play. So, and like I said, just a generally a better style of game. And then we've got that the last 2 weeks. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
The Saints are blessed with two of the greatest halfbacks of all time. And we're just so grateful that we get to see them playing alongside each other. Jack Sinclair and Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller. If you've got to tag one, then the other one will cut you apart. And that's what we saw yesterday. Sinclair had a field day in the first half. Then he got some attention. And that's when Naz started to get going as well. So we're very lucky that those boys take our kick-ins as well. They set up some beautiful set plays, as you would have seen yesterday, if you tuned into the match. The other thing I thought was interesting was that they actually put a tag on Taranto. So Windy was following him all game. Was not expecting that at all. And I think that maybe that it's just something that really works for him, whether locking down on the opponent's best player is just something that complements his midfield talent. I also really liked Owens and Caminiti again in their key posts. So Caminiti continues to grow down back in his new role. And Mitch Owens, although he had a quiet first half, he really grew into it in the second half and dished off that nice one to Collett at the end to show how unselfish he is. Yoss touched on it as well, but Garcia, we've been saying it all podcast, he's a tackling machine and he showed it. He can also rack it up as well, so he was getting really involved early, which was great. And the last thing I was also very impressed was with the lower in the eyes as they did last week. So that's something that they did against Geelong, and they've continued it on this week, and it was very prevalent. I think someone posed a question whether Brendan Bolton was the one who brought that in this year, and I don't know if it was or wasn't, but it's something that's long needed, and hopefully Max King will be licking his lips thinking about the service that might await him.
Siren sound. So every time we play that, we ask a trivia, Saints trivia related question, and we'll give a little bit of time for the audience at home to answer because I have been hearing that they've been playing along. So what have we got for us today?
We'll start off with a cryptic clue again, although we have got some different questions coming about today, but we'll start it off with our cryptic clue. My first name sounds like a word used to describe a shade of colour. My surname starts with something people use to pack things away and ends with a garment often wrapped around by women.
Yours has lost the plot.
No, I lost.
let's repeat that again, listening at home and the guys around the panel needing another go at it. My first name sounds like a word used to describe a shade of colour. My surname starts with something people use to pack things away with. And my surname ends with a garment often wrapped around by women.
One for the fans at home, that one.
Yeah. We get a lifeline?
You sure can. I'll pose a question. What are some of the five W's that you might ask when you're trying to think about an event or plan? Who, what, when, where, why? Yep. So there's your first clue. The second, the surname. What do you use to move things, you know, into a different house?
Box. Oh, Hugh Boxall.
There it is.
Wow.
What was the Hugh part?
Jeez,
the colour.
I'm
so confused right now. What's just happened?
Maybe I got to go back a level or two. Maybe
you're going so deep.
Apparently the people at home are playing and they're getting them. So maybe we're just
I think we're just caught up in the pod.
The pressure. I'm thinking about the next segment. I'm not sure.
I'm thinking about the lion's cage, man. I can't just keep going.
I got thrown by the colour one through me. It was all downhill for me.
Back to Saints Richmond. So 93-20 was the score in the second half. We restricted Richmond to 2 goals whilst kicking 14 of our own. We only scored 100 or over 100 in 5 games out of our 23 games last season. And only 7 out of our 23 games we scored over 90. So to get 93 in one half was very unlike the Saints.
14 goals in a half, mate.
Wow. I think that's even more than our average. 409 disposals we had as a team, and we limited Richmond to 330, which is probably under average. Average is around 350, usually. We hit only 400-plus disposals as a team in only 4 out of our 23 games last season. We lost the marking count 113 to 119. We do touch upon how when we win the marking count, we generally win. But Richmond played a bit of keepings off, and we allowed it as we flooded. But fear not, as we had 21 marks to 7 inside 50s. We lowered the eyes, as St. Trina touched upon, which felt like a game. Who can get closer to the goal? That's what it felt like, the players being like, who can we hit up next? And I really love seeing that. We moved the ball quickly. We used the corridor. Sometimes we missed it, I noticed. Like sometimes Sinclair, and you notice this from the ground when you're there and you're following certain players. I was watching Toby Trevelyan, Jack Sinclair. There were times where Sinclair was waving his arms in the middle and we still tend to look wide instead of central, but that's okay as long as the option's there. And yeah, I just thought a speedy, energetic effort. And gee, I reckon players like Dan Butler would be happy, but also a little bit nervous because you see games and energy brought from players like Collard and Max Hall makes it a little bit tricky to justify bringing in a Dan Butler. So that might be one for later.
Just go through the reserves. That's building a bit of depth. And I think what we've seen, without Max King there, without Butler there, without Sharman in the first couple of matches, we've seen other guys step up and, you know, it just adds to the whole forward line as a whole. And we saw, like you mentioned, the X factor Collard. He's got that speed. He's got that goal sense. He's got that bit of excitement. We saw that one where he took off, tried to bounce, kicked it. He did bounce it, kicked it, hit the post, and he was having a laugh to himself. And Brad Hill had to tell him to get back on the defence. But it's that sort of enthusiasm. Sharman was a bit, you know, quiet in the first half, but he had a little NBA Jam heat up moment in the third quarter, and I reckon he's gonna have one match where he just, when he has a confidence flowing full and he holds all those marks and he has that potential to tear a game apart.
Super Cooper.
Yeah.
Well, you do feel
Super Cooper.
That's nice. Wow, that might be
Super Cooper.
Very good. I was watching with my friend Nick, who's a Richmond fan, and he'll be listening tonight as well. And he was saying, "Who's that number four?" And I reckon a lot of people were turning heads looking at Lance Collard last night just with that burst of speed. And he just needs to back it up. Obviously, he's going to have games where he might only have, you know, 4 or 5 disposals and not get into it. But if he can just show that level of energy and pace, that rundown where we chase someone to get the hold in the ball was very reminiscent of Clinton Jones' rundown of Lance Franklin, which we like to bring up in our friendship group.
Clinton Jones, yeah. Well.
So, well,
he tagged me one day.
Oh, did he?
Longest game of my life.
Really?
Couldn't get away from him.
Really?
That'll be a story for the pod one day.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Let's get old Clinton Jones on the pod one day.
Clint v. Clint.
And Goose McGuire. And another one, Goose McGuire. He knocked me out cold.
Oh, wow. Really?
We'll save that for another one as well. I've had some run-ins with some Saints players before.
Before he busted my leg, he's one of my
favorites. Wow, so Goose knocked you out.
Goose knocked me out. Rumour has it
you're the...
Swing tackle.
Rumour has it you're the reason Clint Jones was dropped. Yeah. For the job he did.
Absolutely. Nailed me out at Casey Fields. It was the worst day ever.
Compliment getting Clint to Clint Jones on you.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
All right, we've got a who am I for you this time, but no cryptic clues this time. I'm just going to reel off about 5 or 6 clues that will help you. They'll get progressively easier. If you do guess someone and you get it incorrect, you cannot guess anymore, okay? I am a 3-time All-Australian. I am a 300 gamer. I played around 260 games for St Kilda.
Yep. Am I allowed to go?
Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say Rewalt.
he's won more than 3 All Australians, hasn't he?
Coach Brock is out. Yeah. I was known for my elite. Sorry, let's do that again. Coach Brock is out. I was known for my elite foot skills and smooth moving composure under pressure. I finished my career at North Melbourne.
Oh, Dallas Santo.
You've all jumped in.
Dallas Santo.
Let us know if you got that quicker at home. cage. Coach Proc, what have you got for us on Ross Lyon?
Awesome. It was great. Ross was on fire. 2 weeks in a row, you've got two Ws. Fantastic effort. What I think Ross did particularly really well was first setting his team up to make sure that he was able to outrun Richmond. I think he would have definitely known that they've got a younger team, younger bodies, inexperience, especially in their forward line, and he would have set that up accordingly. And if you look at Sinclair's numbers, it really speaks for it, let alone Wanganeen Malira, Wilkie, all those guys there. The defenders had so much of the ball, actually, if you actually look at the stats and unpack it, and I definitely think he set it up like that. Like, it was still going out of the game, would have been an easy decision to just go, oh, we've got to get Sinclair inside and go with that, but they stuck with their guns, they moved Garcia in, and he plays, and obviously a few other kids go in there and have their moments, but ultimately stuck with the game plan and knew that the run would be really important later in the game, and clearly the complementary that comes with it is that the Saints are handballing a lot more. So it's not just a kick mark game and they were able to run over the top. So I thought Ross was fantastic in that sense and building for the occasion in Matty's match as well. I'm hearing in the past it hasn't been the successful outcomes in the past, so the Saints stood up. So, yeah, tip my hat to Ross and ability to run over him.
Is there a new game plan that you saw in the preseason compared to now? Because round one and the preseason games look very different to what we saw against Geelong and last night.
Yeah. For what it's worth, in round one, there was a couple of moments where I actually looked and thought, oh, they did try and handball, but, you know, you'd beaten that badly. There just wasn't that opportunity really to get that fast ball movement. Clearly in the last 2 weeks, and just from what I've sort of heard from some of the players, and the Bolton thing was one of the players saying that, Trent. So I think it was on ABC radio, someone was getting interviewed and he did mention Brendan Bolton and a little bit of a change with their ball movement to speed things up, and it's been really, you know, great to play that way and exciting. So there's definitely a shift. There ultimately is, because the profile of the team at the moment speaks for it. So if you just look at the numbers in themselves, like the Saints are averaging 382 possessions a game. Like their handballs are at 154. That's almost 50 more than last year. I think, you know, last year's around 110 or 120, if that. So there's definitely a shift in the profile, the way the team's moving the ball, but it's only a small sample style. So yeah, back to Ross, though. Fantastic effort. I just thought their run was too good for Richmond, and he set it up, given that they had a young team.
Yos, what did you make of some of the young guns that we're talking about? I mean, Keelor played his second game for the Saints. We talked about Collard and Hall. Toby Trevelyan debuted, and I know you were calling for his name to be selected this week.
Yes, we did finally got a look at our number one draft pick, Trevelyan. And I thought, like, for a guy, like, everyone was, when we heard he was going to be the sub, everyone's like, serious? So it was absolutely, well, good to see him start. And it was also, I thought it was really positive of Ross to give him a chance in the middle. He had him on the wing. He didn't just hide him on a half back line. And there were a couple of chase down tackles. So we saw the speed, we saw the enthusiasm, and that's, I just want to see the kid play. So I thought that was really impressive. Obviously, we mentioned Collard. But apart from the other kids, I'll just mention a couple of the older hands up front who have done a really good job. Higgins, super reliable, and he's been getting up the ground, and he's just obviously he's got that goal craft when he's in the forward line. He knows how to snag a few or through different methods. And I think Wood Ford has been really good. He's been, like, really consistent, taking marks. And then when they needed to flick him up the ground as well, I think he got 28 posies the other week. So I thought he's been really good, those two together.
All right, there are five Jacks currently on the St Kilda's list, so I'm going to give you about 7 seconds to tell me the five Jacks who are on St Kilda's list currently. Go for it.
Sinclair, McRae,
yep. Steele.
Steele.
Carroll.
Or one when more. The pressure's on. There's one more, fellas.
Jack Bytel, but he got delisted.
Yeah, Jack Noons. He's gone as well. Who's our other Jack?
Jack. Just mentioned him in the forward line.
Oh, yeah, really? Of course. Jack Higgins. Oh, okay. Higgins. Oops.
Now, not off the hook, there's also five previous Jacks who have played for us in the last, say, 5 to 10 years. Okay. I want your name as well.
Jack Bytel. Jack one. Noons.
Billings. Yep.
Jack Billings.
Billings.
You've got two more that I'm thinking about.
Recent. Good players.
One was a driving force in the middle, used to burst out of the middle of the ground.
Jack Stevens.
Yep. Oh, Jack Stevens. And one had a really good debut only a few years ago.
Jack.
Jackie Hayes.
Jackson.
There you go. Jack.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hayes. Yeah.
Oh, well, that was an awesome debut.
That's a lot of Jacks. Saint or sinner segment. This is where we choose our saint or sinner of the round. I'm presuming there's going to be a lot of Saints here. We'll start with you, Santrena. Who did you have for your Saints center of the round?
Well, I mentioned him earlier, but I've been talking about him all preseason. My tackling machine, Hugo Garcia. Yes. I wanted to see him in the middle without getting that, you know, that shoddy rotation where he'd come in and only get three or four center bounce attendances.
Oh, the subs vest.
That's right. He started in the middle from the get-go, and look at him. He exploded from the first 5 minutes. He was everywhere. But the thing I like about him is that he is a genuinely good tackler. Like, if you look at him, he's always looking to lay a tackle. He's got a really good technique where, you know, players who are prone to lift their arm, he actually goes on top and tries to get them around the back. So he's actually a great tackler. And not only that, he's calling for the ball. He's snapping it forward with that trusty left foot. So he's my center of the round.
Yoz.
Yes, I'm going to Klinsmann, Max Hall. Not easy. Yeah, you could keep kicking a couple of snags, but also I think everyone is was genuinely impressed. When he got the ball in that half-forward position, he took the time to assess and he picked out the best option. It wasn't a bomb long, which is something we've all been complaining about. So he's really good, a lot of good composure. And Clint reckons, give him another 20-odd games, 30 games, and he'll be up there in the midfield as well.
Yep, as I said, he's a born midfielder. He's a genuine footballer. So yeah, if he does a body of work and gets the opportunity, he'll shine.
Proc, Saints, yep, or centre of the round?
All right, I'm going with our man Bradley Hill.
Yes.
All right, I'm going with Brad Hill. I think that he had a really poor start to the year. He was under the pump from you blokes. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, you were giving it to him. Oh, mate,
I think I put him under the pump.
Guy's one position.
Yeah, but this guy's been a loyal servant, like, you know, leader of men, like, just getting it done. And I just thought he responded really well. He had 22 touches. He gave some really good life, kicked the goal. That's a fair effort from a wing flank position. That's a good game. Showed a bit of class, and I thought he's run and drive. And then even a small moment when, was it Collard? You know, snaps that goal and old mate nearly celebrating a point. Hitting the post, and he's pulled him back into line. So that leadership's really important. And I just think he deserves a bit of credit where it's due.
Love
it. He's good.
It's hard to go past the career high 40 disposal Jack Sinclair, but I'm going to go with Mitch Owens for my center of the round. And from the ground, Jack Sinclair put in a great performance at 40 disposals, but from the ground, Mitch Owens had a very, very big presence. It was very noticeable. And yeah, kicked four goals, could have had five. He gave off that last one to Collar. Kicked four goals.
Team man, that was.
He's just such a lively target up front, and he just hangs in the air. He glides, and only 14 disposals, but every one of those seemed effective. And just, I just love what he offers in that forward line.
Well, I think he's like, sorry. Every possession he gets is contested, isn't it? Every time you see him, he's got a man hanging off. He's crashing packs. He's doing all those one percenters. So it's really good to see him get a few easy goals as well.
He kicks some great snaps as well.
He's not the most reliable set shot. If he fixes that.
He likes the harder ones, whereas Sharman's more reliable set shot. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, being at Marvel, did you bow back to him when he gave that celebration at the end?
Oh, that was a beauty.
Love seeing the Japanese heritage come to life. No, it was great seeing the Saints up and about. I really noticed Mitch Owens, and my friends and I that were watching were very much on a Toby Trevallier cam as well, so we noticed the blonde hair out there was nice to see you again.
Yes, the blondies, wait till we get the Viking in there. We're going to be coming up soon. I'm still waiting for the cowbell for Maxie. I think he's earned it now.
Yeah, get the cowbell out.
But actually, how was the atmosphere? Because it was 40,000 for Richmond St Kilda. Obviously, it was a final Maddie's match. How were they? Would have
the Saints fans weren't panicked, even though Richmond kind of playing keepings off. We kind of always felt like the Saints were going to come back. And it reminds me of those days, backtracking all the way back to 09, where we had Dalsano, Montagno, Goddard, Reward, and it felt like we could come back from any lead. It had that aura about it yesterday where the Saints were just waiting to switch into beast mode and Saints footy.
All right, so I'm going to jump in. That's because you played Richmond. You idiot.
Get
your head off the head. Take it easy, will you?
Jules, get back to 09.
Let's just pull it back here, the fellas. You played Richmond, right? They're no good. They're probably going to be worse than West Coast. So yes, really good stuff. But hey, come on, remember?
That's what he's here for. It's true.
Let's start talking about 09 and Rewald.
Comparing Collard to Goddard now.
Who was it last week that you...
O'Connell to Leo Barry.
Oh, Leo Barry now? We got
Can you
Rewald?
Tell I'm a biased Saints fan or what? I think the siren sound's going to save me. What did you got for us, Trenner?
We're going to jersey numbers now. Now, obviously, Yoz's boy, the big blondie, debuted in what jersey number was he wearing?
I do know the answer. Should we
go for it?
It was number 5.
All right, I'm thinking of three other players who have donned the number 5 at the Saints in the last, you know, let's say a few decades. I'm not going to go back too far.
Ozzie Jones.
Yes, that was...
Ozzie Jones is one. In fact, now that you've got Ozzie Jones, there's still three more recent times.
In more recent times?
Yeah.
After Ozzie Jones.
I cannot remember. We were trying to work this out last night. Someone actually asked me who wore the number five before Trevallier, and I could not remember.
I'll give you a hint. Hawthorn.
Oh, okay. So Shane Savage.
Shane Savage is one.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I'll give you another hint. Yeah. Hawthorn.
Another Hawthorn? As in they recruited him from Hawthorn.
Maybe the other way.
Or went the other. McAvoy.
Yep.
Did he wear it? Yeah. Yep.
Right. Okay.
Right. Okay. It wasn't Guerra because he wore 34, wasn't it? So
That's right.
But I just wanted McAvoy. To like his name.
And there's one more after Savage.
One more after Savage.
Yeah, I'll give you another clue. He was another recruit.
Oh, as in from another team.
Yep.
Oh.
Was he a big man?
Anywhere?
A lot of people know him as a ball magnet.
Ball magnet. Is he still playing?
His brother is.
Crouch.
Yep.
Of course. It's Brad Crouch. Of course. Yeah, wow. Put us to shame.
So anyone that gets brought in from the club gets five.
That doesn't bode well for Trevallier. Where's he going?
Oh, Deconin, get ready.
Number five. Yeah. Hey, right. We just keep five aside for someone who gets traded in.
Just a big fish.
All right, well, I track back to 09, so Yoss, how far back are you tracking for us with your sliding
doors? No, I'm actually going to do a Back to the Future sliding door, so this hasn't actually happened. But since, who would you say are the top four ruckmen in the game at the moment?
Ask Trent, fantasy man.
Cherry.
Yes.
Deconin.
Yes.
I'd still probably say Max Gorn. And Rowan Marshall, of course.
Max Gorn. And I thought probably...
That wasn't in order, by the way.
I probably throw a Lloyd Meeks on fire at the moment. But anyway, so since we're looking at dropping, 1.7 on TDK, who is probably one of the best ruckmen in the world, it doesn't still means Carlton are 0-3. So if we go back to 2021, our man, Tristan Zeri, requested a trade to St Kilda. Oh. Do you remember that?
No, he did not.
No, and to be fair, at that time, he was a pure backup because they had, who was it?
So you're saying Cherry for the picking.
That's good.
He had played four seasons, 12 games. So what was the asking price that they asked for?
Third round pick or something like
a future second rounder.
Oh man. Oh,
gosh, we could have had Marshall and Cherry.
That's a great dig. That's an awesome find.
No, I think that's really interesting because you're dropping 1.7 on TDK. And we know a lot of premiership teams don't have that type of ruckman. They just got players.
Have a look at Geelong. Geelong haven't had a ruckman since Brad Ottens, and he wasn't even a ruckman.
He was a premiership ruckman last year. Yeah. Darcy Fort.
There you go.
But like I said, so obviously the Saints weren't willing to give up a future second rounder. So just the sliding doors moment. So who did we use those future second rounders on that we weren't willing to give up? Tristan Zeri.
Oh, man. Please tell me someone good.
Clint's man.
Maxwell.
James Van Ness.
Oh, Jimmy Van Ness. He's playing this week for the Chooks. Yeah. He's in.
Get him in. All right. So that one worked out for us.
Yeah, we're all right. And Ollie Hotton. We had two second round draft picks. Ollie Hotton. Both of them off the list.
Yet to see that one.
Those are the type of moments. So your recruiting team obviously targeted this guy as a guy who's obviously
key defender. Yep.
12 games in 4 years.
He just got injured. He couldn't get on the park.
But those are the decisions you make. Like, I think everyone's so worried about these draft. I agree with Craig McCray in that point. If you're worried about draft picks, second rounder, if you didn't want to get your man, get him in.
Yep. Wow. Tristan Zeri.
Who wants to kick us off on the GT pressure rating? This is where we nominate a player or department or anyone really who might be under the pump. Yes, GT I'll pressure rating, Coach Yoss, who have you got for us?
Always love to put the pressure on. I'm just saying the whole team because their record in Adelaide is absolute rubbish. And like we saw what happened the first round against Adelaide. So can we rectify that? We saw North play today. Like they got, how did they get done by about 30 points? But they put up a good fight. So what we want to see is a team that can travel. Ross's ball, his mantra is any ground, any time. So let's see that against Adelaide. They're going to be in there for 2 weeks because they've got back-to-back games. First Port Adelaide and then GWS. So they've got time to be up there. So I just want to see the team perform. Bring this type of performance outside of marble.
Trenner.
I'll say Windy, not because he has had a bad performance or anything like that. He's been fantastic, but I'll say the pressure is on because Rosie has actually been really, really good this season. I think that he has to go to him.
Oh, really? Not Jason Horne-Francis.
I know Horne Francis is the other one, but he actually hasn't hit his strides yet this season. Rosie's the one who's been really smooth moving in that midfield. So I'd probably send Windy to Rosie, especially with Butters out. If we can shut down Rosie, I think that'll put us in really good stead. So Windy, need you to do another lockdown job.
I'm going
to
challenge. I reckon Horne Francis, he tore us apart at Marvel.
He did tear us apart last season.
They're both really top players. And obviously, I think Rosie copped a bit of a spray from Kenny the other day. So, like you said, obviously that's a really good point in that they don't have Butters. So if we can shut down one of them.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd be happy with tagging JHF as well. That'd after be that, a great challenge, that Marvel masterclass, yeah.
I'm going to go with one of my favourite players, Jack Steele. I think he's probably under the microscope a little bit just because, well, he didn't play last night. And not just because of that, but, I mean, in the last few years, Saints fans are starting to notice that his output is declining. Obviously, it's been due to the fact that he's been having injuries for a long time. But, you know, back in 2021, he was averaging 29 disposals for the Saints. The next year, it was 27. In 2023, it was 23. Last year, it was 24 disposals. And, I mean, this year, we can't really go off the numbers with such a small scale, but only 20 disposals so far, averaging in his first two games. So, I don't know. I guess, you know, we've had a big win without him. And if he gets injected back into that midfield and things look different, and as the captain, I just think the pressure is on him. So, not necessarily coming from me personally, but just from the Saints fans, I think that a lot of pressure will be on our man, Jack Steele.
Well, he's been usurped, hasn't he, as a number one midfielder of Saints by Jack McRae.
Oh, yeah.
Clean's putting up a Brownlow medal tip.
I mean, I put him in the start, yeah, so he's paying 67-1. What's he at now?
Jack McRae. He's probably moved into about 40s or so, maybe. Man. Maybe
even less. He looked like a real leader yesterday. I noticed that he was actually pulling a lot of the strings, the young boys were asking for advice, he's great.
The new alpha.
There absolute steal.
Yeah, all right. I was going with Steele as well, but you stole my thunder. We clearly don't plan before this pod. Nah.
Fair enough.
It's good. It's good. I'm actually thinking the Ruckman, Marshall. He's got a big game ahead of him. He's got Soldo. He's got Sweet. Two really big lads because Port don't have, obviously, their forwards at the moment in regards to Marshall. And also, I think it's Lord that, you know, he's sort of second tall. So they've gone with the two rucks, and that's going to be a huge challenge for him. So he's going to have to just roll his sleeves up. And I know he does a lot for the Saints, but given that Keeler's still young, it's going to be all on him if they don't go with Boyd.
Surely they're going to be in Finlayson back, Trent.
Oh, they have to.
I reckon he will. I reckon he'll clean up against us.
Yes. Going all the way back to 2009, it was a... Well, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but it was a really fun season. Besides that, just sticking to that theme of Toby Trevallier wearing the number five, I've got five players in mind who were recruits from other sides. So they were really good players that we recruited. There was two on the wing. Can you name them? They're in the 2009 Premiership team.
Luke Ball?
Not Premiership team.
Sorry, when I say Premiership team, they played in the Grand Final.
Don't tell me.
What reality are we living in?
Played on the outside.
Don't tell me Brett Peake.
Yep, he's Brent one of them. Peake,
yeah. In 2009, was he? I thought he was in 10.
Okay, maybe let's include 2010 in this.
He was in 10.
Wow, that's
good. There's another one out there.
Recruit in 2009. Oh.
This is old school.
On the other wing. I think we mentioned him on the podcast. Bit of Everybody Loves.
Ray. Farron Ray.
Farron Ray.
Dogs. I know you were saying, Yeah, Ray was. I thought a recruit that season. Ray was obviously.
Yes, and there was also a recruit at the back end of the field and also at the front end of the field. So there was one in the forward line and one in the back line, both from the Sydney Swans.
Dawson. And,
Zach Dawson, of course.
Who's our man?
No?
They got a 2-for-1 deal. Steal of the year. Dempster and.
Sean Dempster, yeah.
Snyder.
That's right. And then there were two ruckmen that we also recruited from other clubs.
Well, yep. Gardner.
Gardner.
And King.
King.
Okay.
Not the uncle of Max.
Nope.
Fantasy, top 100 almost, right? Just looming outside of it.
I would have been in the top 100 if I didn't get greedy. And I tell you what, you cannot get greedy if you're playing up the top. So I took Tom DeConin, vice captain, 130 on Friday night. And what did I do? I thought McRae was in for a 150. So
oh, no.
I kept the captaincy on McRae. He got 113. Now, I can live with that, but that's 17 points from pure greed. You have to stick with your vice-captain if he scores over 120, 125.
I'll tell you right now, if your vice-captain gets 130 minimum, just take it.
You have to take it. Do you know why I switched? Because the week before I had Dawson, 134 vice-captain. Rosie came out and got 145 against Richmond, and I felt like I missed out.
The risk isn't worth those.
The risk is not worth it. So I learned a valuable lesson. I will not be doing that again for the rest of the season. The other lesson I learned is to go with your gut in fantasy. Now, I saw Ryan Marich for West Coast playing a new halfback role. And you know that halfback role that I love, Coach Proc, where they just take the kick-ins and they roam across halfback. Ryan Marich started to do that for West Coast against Brisbane, and he scored a nice 75. Now, 75 not the greatest score, but he's very cheap in the forward line. So people were wondering whether he could back that up. Well, he certainly did. He scored over 100 tonight against Frio. Mm. He was taking all their kick-ins except, McGovern took a couple, but McGovern injured himself. So Ryan Marich is now the man down back. I was suspected he'll be picked up by a lot of teams this week in the forward line.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the best rookie, Xavier Lindsay, went down with a knee injury. So he'll be the top trade target. People that you should be considering is Moraes from Port Adelaide. He looked fantastic on the wing out there. So those are my tips. Moraes and Marich to get your cash gen up and some decent scoring. The other man I noticed for Melbourne are now taking a lot of uncontested marks in the back, and Bowie is one that's averaged over 90, and he's still cheap enough to pick up, and I think he'll score really well because that guy demands the ball, and I love players who demand the ball in the back line. So jump on those three players this week.
No love for JB. I saw him. Was he playing for Melbourne on the weekend, wasn't he?
Yep.
He did. How'd he go?
No, not too good. Not too good. I think those days of averaging 98 are well behind our man Jack.
Sunday the 6th of April, Port Adelaide versus St Kilda at Adelaide Oval. Coach Proc, let's preview the Saints. Oh, your chance.
Yeah, big chance. Big chance. Flipped it. Mate, the Saints are flying. I'm on board.
Adelaide, a different beast in it.
I will preface Proc's segment by saying this is what Saints do. We get everyone's hopes up and then we just crash and burn. But anyway.
Let me unpack it.
Okay,
right?
I love it.
I know, Johan, you're really good at understanding where the Saints play well and what grounds and everything. I'm here in Adelaide. There's a real risk. But anyway, I'll just go with the profile, right? And this is what I'm seeing, okay? So Port average 408 possessions at the moment this year. It's incredibly high. They're a really high handballing team at the moment. They're nearly literally the same in regards to kicks and handballs. So 218 kicks to 190 handballs is what they're averaging, which is crazy close. That's literally 1.15 in the kick-to-hand ratio, which is probably just a bit alarming it would be in their end, unless they just want speed on the game. So with that, there's 35 disposals per goal, which is quite high compared to the Saints' 25. And the other thing I want to pull up is their tackles are incredibly low. So they're only at 45. Now, that's poor in a sense. Now, Saints are where the Saints can really get this job done is essentially in the contest in itself. So tackling, obviously, that's a really good one wood for the Saints when they did that really well against Geelong. That was clearly the formula that worked, and they had 61 tackles. And I just think the profile of actually the Saints right now versus Port, as alarming as that practice match was, and with how they're structured now with their injuries, you match up quite well because really there's only Georgiadis in the front half with potentially a second ruckman and maybe Willie Rioli. The rest, with respect, Pal Pepper, you know, a bit of a bull. Berry and Richards, you know, they're still learning their crafts. And Berry is recruited there Richards as a potential small forward. But again, he's no different. He played midfield a lot. So, like, I think that their sort of makeshift forward line here is actually potentially where you guys could really, really go well, especially with now there's some stability with Caminiti going back there, yep. Wilkie, all of a sudden there's Sinclair, Wangan and Malira. That you match up really well. And, you know, Radaglia down back, mate, he doesn't kick the ball that really well. They rely so much on Farrell with their ball movement and Burgoyne. But I think that, you know, with the ball movement and their midfield, mate, the Saints are a chance. Now, that's just on numbers and what I'm seeing with the board here, but ultimately it's between the years where the Saints have to really come to it. So to be really quick, what the Saints must have is, I know it's simple, but tackle pressure. Clearly with the numbers there, if you can put pressure on Port, you'll turn the ball over and you'll get a chance to score off that. So from there, they must have that tackle pressure really, you know, GT presser rating's got to be 200 plus each quarter. If you do that, I think you can win. And then with that, I agree with Trent before. Rosie is the one I would target, and I'll put Windy to him. And then what we must do, we must have defensive pressure and ability to press the field. So what's going to happen in the game is that Port will want speed on this game because they don't want stoppages. It just says here with the numbers. They're really fast. They're marking the ball a lot, so you've got to press the game. So you've got to close the exit. So what that means is like when the ball goes in skinny to the forward line and they switch it, your defenders have got to get really high with your wingers and press them down and turn it over and keep it in the front half. Once they get marks or handballs, it'll be really hard. It'll just turn into a transition game, really running. And I'm not sure the Saints want that straight away. Maybe later in the game when you want to open it up, but early, press it down, keep it in the front half, and make it like a front half game. So you set it up really well, get Wilkie set up behind the ball as a plus one, keep it in there, your forward pressure all got to be through the.
You reckon Port are going to roll with the two ruckman again? Because it didn't really work on Thursday.
I think they will against Marshall. And then the other one was just back to coming again with the ball movement. It's been really great. If you can shift those angles and take the ball in and lower their eyes, you'll kick a score. So, but really, I think it's about that Geelong game now, and it's the Saints all between the ears, turning up and bringing the heat and bringing the pressure, playing with a chip on your shoulder, and going over. You face the two Adelaide teams in a practice match in round one, and going over and rolling sleeves up and saying, "Hey, we stand for something here." So, I think it's a massive game for the Saints. To be honest, I think it's a real opportunity to go 3-1 and show everyone we're the real deal. And if they don't, then they deserve everything they get, because you are numbers, form, everything that's coming. You're ready to win.
Yep. Well, they need to snag. Now can they? Really need to snag one of the games.
Yeah. So this is it. Otherwise this is really it. Yep. This is it.
Well, to quote Ross in his press conference last night, he said they were hungry today. Let's see if they are hungry next week.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so he's already thinking ahead.
Yep. So with that and all the numbers, the Saints should win.
Wow. There you have it, Saints fans. We should win.
Converted him.
We should win, which means we probably won't.
But I'm not tipping him. Portal win. Because I think you're not there yet mentally.
Yeah, fair call.
Okay, that's my tip.
All right, we're going to wrap up in the next 5 minutes, but we threw out a story on our Instagram at Saints or Sinners Pod where we said, were there any questions or feedback for the panel? And we've got some. Trenor, who reached out this week?
Yeah, the first one's from Cam Hall, who said, do the last 2 weeks change your expectations for this season and where we'll finish?
I think we need to temper it a bit, because after round one we started analysing the top draft picks for the year, and after two wins we started bringing up 09.
We're so reactive to each result, aren't we?
We are. That's the life of a Saints fan. But no, I think it's more of the same. We need to temper expectations a little bit and just see more of this stuff, a better game plan, which we're seeing the kids playing, more cohesion between the front and the back, because we know what the back can do. And just that connection. So I think more of the same. Let's see where it takes us.
Way too early to mention the F word, isn't it?
Well, funny,
no, that's not finals. That's Finn Callahan.
When Ross first re-signed in 2023, we went to the fourth game where we went 4-0. And I remember my friends and I were chanting Ross the Boss, and we actually called into SEN. And the guy was saying, what do you feel about the Saints? And I said, look, I've been following them for 30 plus years. I know not to get ahead of myself. And that's exactly what I feel like right now. But geez, it's hard to justify booking a trip to Mount Buller in September with the way the Saints are playing.
Oh, Jesus.
You
played Richmond. Remind you again.
That's right.
I think it was the first five or six games of Tim Watson's coaching career. We were 5-0.
Really?
Top of the league.
Wow.
Yes. And we all know how that ended.
Well, we were 18-0 with Ross Lyon at one stage as well, don't forget.
No, you haven't played any. Like Geelong didn't turn up, right? And you played Richmond.
Yeah, it's way too
early. And you got smashed by Adelaide, which they're very good. Always wait until around about round 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
That's when everyone, it comes through and you're like, you know where you stand.
Yeah.
Hawthorn 0-5 last year. Brisbane are so slow to start last year.
Yeah.
Sydney killed it all year and then just fell away, only just got into the, you know, they didn't fall into the finals where they weren't in good form, were they? You need time. The season is long.
It's a great call. Yeah. I think Saints should focus on just taking it week by week. Do you know what I mean? There aren't very high expectations on the Saints. So let's just try and cause a few upsets like we did against Geelong and win the ones that we should be winning like yesterday.
Improve yourself on the inside before we see the outside.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's funny how the narrative can change so quickly. I mean, the preseason game and then round one, everyone was saying, oh, it's a long season, I'm done with the Saints, we have no future. And then all of a sudden now, you see a good game from Trevallia Hall and Collard and everyone's saying the future is bright.
Where's Boxall?
It's never
I was like, who's this guy?
It's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. But after round one, you would have said, oh, we got no kids. Kids are useless.
I remember Treat going, Boxall's our only good player.
That's right.
He did play, actually.
He was the best in the preseason.
He was really good on the weekend.
Hugh and Hugo. I was calling for them. I got Hugo yesterday. Now, Hugh, come and join the party.
He was good on the weekend again.
He was.
You'll be impressed with
good player. He's going to be a great player.
He was very good. he should be in the team, to be honest. Now that we print it up.
We've got another one from
speaking of that, O'Connell's going to be out with
concussion.
Concussion. Yeah, good courage. Does a Stocker come straight back in
good
for him?
Good courage.
Ooh. I don't even know. What has he got pushed into it?
Not yet.
Not yet. What?
Not yet. Give him a week. Just get right.
No, O'Connell's out.
But yeah, I wouldn't bring Stocker back.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, sorry.
Maybe Henry finds a way to creep in.
Stock's down.
No, someone else. Henry, get Henry.
Hopefully.
No, he needs a couple of... I actually read someone having a whinge about his performance in the reserves.
Mate, he's playing at Sandringham on the beach.
They said he basically accused him of being soft and skirting around the edges.
If he's playing in Sandringham, I'm telling you...
Why don't he be in and under in Sandringham? Oh, mate, the wings
don't... You don't get any possessions on the wing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you get one kick and it's down the end. Because it's so windy, it plays at one end.
Some people would happen to go at him on social media.
No. You'll be fine.
Last question from Benny. He said, what do we do if Port Adelaide play keep-ins off like they did in the preseason? Because Richmond played it yesterday and we looked a little bit stuck.
Oh, Benny from Bentley.
Benny, answer that. And it was in my in the review. You've got to, the defenders have to go forward to defend. You've got to have the courage to come off your man, especially when they start chaining out with handballs, and just press it through and trust your help side. So what that means is essentially if it's down the wing and they've switched it and then all of a sudden you're on that fat side wing, just press it, run right across, trust that there's like a cyclone help side from your winger coming back, and then the defenders can keep going forward and just press that down and keep it in there. That's exactly how you do it.
Yeah, great call. It'd be really frustrating if we see exactly what we saw in the preseason, which was them just chipping the ball around, Finlayson, Bergman, Burgoyne, doing as they please down back. Let's shut that off and bring the pressure like we did against the Cattery.
Oh, we got time. We're running out of time. Cameron, since we're playing Port, can we bring up a bit of free agency that we've been linked to Miles Bergman?
The Birdman. We'll be watching him very closely, won't we?
Jules wasn't so impressed. He hasn't been impressed with him. I haven't seen much of him. How was he on the weekend?
Oh, he was fantastic on Thursday.
It was pretty.
He's a running defender, isn't he?
He's an intercept mark, actually.
He's an intercept mark, is he?
He is kind of like Toby Trevallier, like similar sort of size.
He's from this area, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
Don't mind it. Don't love it. Don't mind it.
But it depends what you give up for him. If it's a free agent.
But I think if you can mark a player like Hawthorn did it really well, and I've sat in the meetings with Sam, like he was going straight after Ambrosio. He wanted him in the mid. I think I told you this on this, right? Like he wanted a mid-season draft, and then as soon as he was out of contract, they just nailed him, right? Yep. Got him for cheap, nothing. So you see a player, you know he's going to fit into your system and style, have the courage to go and get him and then bring him. Carl Amon was the same. They picked him early.
Brilliant.
They were building that left-footed ball movement type of thing, if you think about Clark O'Neill.
We were one of the other teams.
See your guy, get him. I don't mind it.
Do not underestimate the Birdman. He's a great player.
Well, if he's a free agent, you don't have to give anything up for him. You might as well. Because they start attracting players.
Yeah. Him and Taru will be intercepting marks in the back line for years to come.
It's lovely down here by the Bayside. Get down here.
That brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners. If you are feeling generous, please leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. Thank you to our panel, Yoz, Proc and Trenner, for your insights. And thank you to all our loyal supporters on Instagram at Saints or Sinners Pod. We don't have a huge amount of followers yet, but we do love all the DMs, comments and messages from our Saints faithful. To all the members out there, congrats on another great win. We'll see you next weekend after our game against Port Adelaide. Other than that, we hope you have a tremendous week. Wear your Saints scarf proud to work on Monday, and we'll see you all next time on Saints or Sinners.
2-1, baby! Now when the Saints marching in, I win the Saints go marching in. Yes, I